Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Except for Utah, where our house and lot didn't allow us to do so, Janet and I have had a small garden everywhere we've lived. Now, Janet has always been the one who took care of the garden, but since we moved here, I've actually taken more of an active role. After reading a book by a college classmate titled The Vine Speaks, I was motivated to try my hand at growing grapes for the first time and am really enjoying it. I thought they were dead this spring, and man, they came back. The biblical images of the vine and the branches make that exercise actually more like a devotional exercise than simply raising a product for our table. Now, my parents never raised a garden, primarily because the mobile home court where we lived in Alaska was too rocky. One summer, my mom tried to grow some clover to get a little greenery in our yard, and she painstakingly raked the rocks in an attempt to expose some soil, laid out a border of larger rocks, painted them white. It looked so pretty. Clover sprouted. It was actually quite nice. But the first rain came along and washed it all away. There was no soil for that clover to take root in. And she resigned herself to the reality that anything resembling a lawn, well, let alone a garden, was just not going to happen. Now, the reason I mention that isn't just to tell you a little bit more about my life, but I believe that God has placed in our hearts and souls a desire for living and growing things. You'd be hard-pressed to find any home without any plants or flowers, even if they're artificial. Now, maybe that's why Jesus used so many agricultural illustrations as he spoke to the people around him. Those images are timeless, and they cross so many cultural barriers as they describe in a very visual way how God and his kingdom work and how he accomplishes his purposes in our lives. Our gospel lesson today is one of the most familiar of those kind of examples. The parable is typically called the parable of the sower, but a more appropriate title is a parable of the soil, because the focus isn't on the sower, but on what happens to the seed after it hits various types of earth. As sinful, imperfect people, we all have hardened paths, shallow ground, and thorny patches in the gardens of our hearts. And Jesus reminds us to have ears that hear. When he says that, he wants us to admit this fact, that soil exists, all those soils exist in our lives. And so we can turn to him and his word, which will then grow in our hearts. So first of all, we hear that some of the seed fell along the path and birds came and ate it up. I've been feeding birds in the back of my backyard, or in the backyard for the past couple of years, and I've been watching them, and you know, and if you've done this too, you know it. We've got mulch underneath our plants, and the mulch is quite fine. It's pretty small, but those birds can scratch and push that mulch around and find any little seed that's fallen below the feeder. Now, if they can find seeds in that mess, any seed on an exposed and hardened path would be easy pickings for them to snatch up. And it really isn't the path's fault that the seed is so vulnerable. After all, a path is made for what? Traveling, not for producing food. And you and I have paths like that in our lives. We're people on the go, busy with this, that, and the other thing. But that can be spiritually dangerous if our lives are made up only of those busy paths. The busier we are, the harder it is to set aside time for other important things of life. And what's advantageous to one part of life isn't always advantageous to another. You know, it's all too easy to be fooled into thinking that because you're busy, because you're living in the fast lane, you must be doing what's right. Now, a few patches of weeds or a few minor gratifications may sprout up from time to time along the edges of a life like that, but nothing of lasting value can grow on a busy, beaten path. And if your life is simply made up of running here and there, Jesus says that the birds will come and snatch any seed that gets sprinkled about. Those birds are the forces in the world which work to prevent God's word from growing. Last week, we heard about the daily battle between what we know we ought to do and what we actually do. Our sinful nature works every day to dominate our lives. And not only that, Paul warns us that the powers and the principalities of this present darkness are also at work to keep us away from God. You know, it's truly a miracle that any spiritual growth happens in our lives as the devil throws hindrance after hindrance in our way any chance he gets. Now, many great men of faith have spoken about this battle which takes place whenever you turn your heart toward God. The birds are everywhere. Things which intrude and take our focus away from God, work that needs to be done, phone calls that need to be made, meetings to attend, concerns about children, of school, of homework, of boyfriends or girlfriends. Now, these aren't unimportant, and they easily occupy our minds whenever we try to spend time with God. Now, those things have always existed. People have struggled with that since time began. That's why Jesus warned people about that in his own day. But I think there are just so many more today. Smartphones with Facebook, Snapchat, a host of other apps and social medias in our pockets, at our fingertips, right at hand to distract and entertain our minds no matter where we go. Even here in this place, right now. Combine all of that with hard or soft church pews, long sermons, difficult hymns, or warm and sleepy air, and it's a wonder that we can focus on any message that God wants to plant in our hearts. Now, Luther spoke about that, and he gave this advice. He said, "We can't stop the birds from coming, but we can take heed lest they build nests in our hair." It's crucial that our lives be more than beaten down paths. When we're constantly busy, constantly distracted, the things of eternal consequence become easy prey for the birds. Well, then Jesus speaks about seed which falls on rocky soil, rocky ground. It springs up quickly, but because the soil is shallow, it quickly dies. The roots just can't go deep enough. They're scorched and withered by the sun. And as Jesus said, these are those who hear God's word and are initially filled with excitement and joy, but all too quickly the flame burns out. The seed germinates, but doesn't take root because it's neglected. Now that neglect probably isn't intentional. It's simply a lack of priority. It's all too easy to slip out of the habit of spending time in prayer, in fellowship with other believers, in worship, and in study of God's word. All too easy. But without those things, the faith that sprouts, the faith that's growing in our lives, grows weak. We need to receive regularly that which feeds our spirit, because those things will come along that challenge your faith. They're gonna happen. These past couple of years have been difficult for our family, as Janet and I have both had to deal with the death of a parent and a sibling. Now, if we had not had our faith and the support of our brothers and sisters in Christ, I don't know how we would have weathered storms like that. Other seed, Jesus says, fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Now, that's probably the easiest part of the parable for us to understand. Jesus says that we're surrounded by dangers that threaten to choke our faith. We all know what the first commandment says. You shall have no other gods before me. And Luther's explanation to that is short and simple. He says you should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. You see, if anything is more important to you than God, it will become a tangle that can choke out your faith. I served my vicarage over 30 years ago in Battle Creek, Michigan, under a pastor, Pastor Tom Heil. And one of his joys was spending time on about a half acre of land that a member of the church had let him use for a garden. And many times he would take me out of the office with him as he worked that ground. I think one of the reasons he took me was for free labor. But I think one of the other lessons that he wanted to teach me was that I should always have some place to go to get my mind off the daily worries and the routines of life. I know that's what that garden did for him. But another bit of wisdom he imparted was this. He said, a good gardener's hoe is always moving. Now, applying that advice to Jesus' parable, I think we can say that we must be ever vigilant against the weeds and the thorns which want to gain a foothold in the garden of our heart. Whenever you're tempted to pursue wealth or personal pleasures or anything at the expense of your relationship with God, it's time to pick up the hoe and get moving. Always be aware of the danger of making anything more important than God. Don't let those temptations take root. You know, as with many of Jesus' words, this parable is a hard one to listen to. When his disciples asked why he always spoke to the people in parables, he replied, "Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. This people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes." See, Jesus' words are hard for us to listen to because if we're honest, we know he's talking about us. We all get too busy and neglect the most important things in life. We all get distracted by trivial things rather than spending intentional study and time in worship with our brothers and sisters in the faith. We all are guilty of becoming disheartened because life beats down on us like that hot summer sun, threatening to wilt our faith in its heat. And every one of us is guilty of allowing the good things of this world to be a higher priority than our God. So what do we do about it? Just try harder? Just do more? No. Jesus actually has a better plan. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Jesus reminds us with those words that true, strong, and lasting faith isn't really about us, but it's about him. As Jesus sows the seed of his word in our lives, it grows and creates faith. As God said through Isaiah, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. What's our part in having a healthy garden? Trust in the power of the seed that is sown. God sows his word in your life, and his promise is that word will produce a harvest. And yes, you are to be diligent in your faith. And yes, you must guard against willful sin taking root in your life. And yes, you need to be aware of those things which threaten the health of the garden of your heart. And that's why Jesus warns us about it. But ultimately, you must trust in God's never-failing love and his desire and willingness to forgive when you fall short. You must trust in the power inherent in God's word. You see, when you, as Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, you can be confident that when you see birds and sun and weeds do their worst in your life, as you receive his word in worship and Holy Communion and personal devotions, and as you are encouraged by God's people, you can be confident that your faith will thrive because God has promised it will grow. So receive God's word deeply in your heart and life. And as you do, God's promise is that he will bring a harvest of blessing. Blessing for you, blessing for others, and most especially a blessing for eternity. Amen.